The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. Issue 64, Brightburn. But before we get to Brightburn, we do a little bit of news. And breaking in the news, just breaking, did Disney do something nice? And then we get into a listener tweet, a couple of opinions back and forth, a little chit-chatting. Then we get into Brightburn, spoiler-free for the first half hour of the podcast. Then we lock the door, hide the key underneath the kryptonite, and we get into spoilers. And even though this movie came out a while ago, John and I, we had a really good time. You came all the way down here. You're standing in front of the store with me. You might as well just walk in and check out what we had to say. Let's go. Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's nice to be back here on a Monday, doing our normal schedule.
I know. It's been weird. I've been thrown off for the last couple of weeks because we're recording on all kinds of crazy days. I don't even know what day of the week it is.
I know.
You know? And then we pretend. So it's like you tell them, oh, hey, it's Monday morning. And I'm like, wait a minute, isn't it like Thursday night? It's like, because I was supposed to be back to work on Monday. So.
I know. That's a good point. You're trying to pretend that it's Monday, which it's not. Yeah. And then we're trying to make everybody feel happy on Monday morning, you know, bright side of Monday morning. But yeah, you're right though. Like just everything the last 2 weeks. I don't know why I didn't feel this way last year. I think because Christmas was on Tuesday last year, so we were still able to do everything on Wednesday.
We kind of kept our schedule a little bit closer to normal. And next year it's on a Friday, actually, because it's leap year.
Right. Oh, that ought to help.
It might not affect a whole lot, although we'll see. We're just going to discuss this now because we haven't done it before. But I feel like next year we should have 3 episodes in the can.
Yeah.
About mid-November.
I was going to say July. This week comes, I love Christmas in July. And we can
actually, we should do that throughout the year. Like, whenever we have an extra night, we should just record a random episode.
Yeah.
And then that way, 1 week when I'm just, like, not up to it, we just throw that out there. And
yeah, but see, here's the thing. If we have a couple in the can ready to go, you will piss through those so fast.
No, I won't. I won't. Because I'll save them for the holidays when I really, you know, don't want to be doing it.
Oh, okay.
And then yeah.
I'm just
I won't do that. You make it sound like I don't enjoy doing this.
I'm just kidding. But it's like, I know. You know what it's like when you.
But I definitely want to have. I'm not kidding. No, though. I definitely want to have some in the bank. So that
it's tough though, because everything we do is pretty much timely.
I really
enjoy what we do. It's like it really is that, you know, walk into a comic book store and just chat. And yeah, it doesn't have to be timely. We could record something like that, but I mean, who knows? I mean, and we always say that, but then we have not that we have a hard time doing scheduling these, I should say. I mean,
no.
You know, I know when we first started, we were like, what are we going to do for content? We might run out, and we're never short for content because we can just, I mean, we might as well be back at what was that park we went to where we sat in the rain under the umbrella. When I was down there with the girls.
Oh, yeah.
And we just kept talking and talking.
On the boardwalk. Yeah.
We're still doing it.
Down on the boardwalk. Yeah.
Almost 2 years later, a year and a half later, we're still talking the same way we talked then. Did you see any news since the last time we talked?
The only thing I saw, actually, was a bunch of, I guess yesterday, Disney Plus took Home Alone and Home Alone 2 and The Sandlot and a few movies, they took them off their service yesterday on the or maybe it was on the 1st. And a lot of people were like losing their minds because they had originally stated that there was not going to be a rotating content on there.
Yeah.
And people had been watching Home Alone all through
the holidays. Yeah.
It just dropped on the service and like, no, it wasn't even on there very long.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks or so. So people were really upset about that. I was reading a bunch of tweets about it yesterday. But then literally 2 minutes before we got on this podcast, I was reading like a statement from Disney Plus talking about it. Basically what happened with that set of movies is they had a temporary reprieve of the licensing so that they could have them for the holidays. Yeah. But then they had to get them back off again.
Oh, okay.
Until they were actually get them free and clear
from wherever they are, Netflix or wherever.
So once those dates pass, and they didn't say exactly when it was going to be, all those shows will be back on and they'll never come off again.
Right.
Because
okay, that's cool.
They doubled down on saying that they were not going to take it. Like nothing was ever going to come off.
Right.
Once it went on there, it was going to stay on there. So it was kind of like it was a big uproar for like one day and then they clarified it and now it's no big deal. But
it sounds like a good uproar though. It sounds because like, we learned a lot from it. Like, oh,
thinking the same thing. Yeah. I was like, why did these come off if they weren't supposed to come off? So
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, but that was really the only news. I saw that yesterday and then I saw the rebuttal today. So
you know what that raises a question to me, which I think is pretty funny. I'd love to hear the answer. All this is for money, right?
Right.
So how much did Disney pay to get their content back? Just for a month.
Exactly.
Like they had for to a month pay or 3 weeks. Own content. Isn't that awesome?
Right. To somebody that has it that's losing it again anyways. Right. It was kind of like they're paying Sony for Spider-Man, you know, it's same type of thing, you know. But yeah, I'm sure it wasn't free. They had to have paid something to get it. And you know, and even with that, it's like I don't know if the fact that they had Home Alone necessarily got them new subscribers.
Right.
So it was kind of like money they spent that I don't know if they saw a big return on.
No, but I think there's a lot of people that Pete, one of our buddies, Super Swede on Twitter, you know, love him to death, but he hates Disney.
Right.
And we've talked personally about it and laughed and stuff, right. But I'll back Disney on this one and say, look, they didn't have to do that. That's a good faith thing.
Right, exactly. Because that's what I was saying. I don't know if they really made that money back.
No.
It was just something that they did for their subscribers, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It was. Look, we're going to do this because we know it's the holidays. We know everybody likes to go to Disney Plus and for one stop shopping. And
Home Alone, as opposed to Die Hard, is actually a Christmas movie, so people were going to want to see it.
Let's not redo this podcast right now. Let's save that for next year in December if you want to go at me on that one.
I'm not going at anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Home Alone is a popular movie for Christmas.
Yep.
So
could take place at any time during the year, just like Die Hard.
It could have, but it literally was a Christmas movie.
So was Die Hard.
They went to France for Christmas.
And like, he went to California for Christmas.
He went for his wife's party.
No, he went out there to see the kids for Christmas.
Okay. All right.
Oh, and if he did go for the party, what kind of party was it?
It was her promotion party.
Oh, yeah, right. With the big tree.
That's right.
We could do this all day long, but you've missed the boat. Why did you wait until now? It's January. It's 2020.
Oh, I don't want to have this argument.
You started it.
It's been done to death.
It'll be done to death again. Yeah, what decade is it? All right. Yeah, the only news I have, and it's not really news, but it kind of relates to Joker is coming out on Tuesday.
Yeah.
On Blu-ray, 4K, blah, blah, blah. Cannot wait. I know you're not as big on that movie as I am. I'm sure you're going to buy it, though, no?
I probably will get it. Like I said, I didn't hate it. I just didn't.
You didn't
I
love
didn't like
it,
it
like
as much
I did.
As you did.
Yeah, it's
right,
one of my
exactly.
top movies of the year. The other thing was, did you see on Twitter that there's a report that Todd Phillips is saying Joker's success had nothing to do with Batman?
I didn't see that, but I don't necessarily disagree with that. Like, I don't know that the fact that they had Batman elements in that movie made it do better at the box office.
I do. I don't think. Well, let me just put it to you this way. And we said this in the podcast. I don't think it draws the numbers and the attention if it's just a movie about another guy. It brought in the DC fans. And this is before the movie was out. Once it's out, then it's great. And I'll give them that. But the initial excitement, that was comic book fans.
Well, right. But because it was the Joker, like, we know he's the Joker because it's a Batman character.
Right.
But I don't think that the fact that there was Batman elements in the movie itself had anything to do with the box office. I mean, the draw was there because it's the Joker. And yes, that absolutely ties into Batman.
But that's what he's saying had nothing to do
with
it.
Well, I guess it depends on, it depends on what he's actually trying to say with that statement.
Yeah. No, he's.
You're right. Cause if it's not because it's Batman and the Joker, it doesn't do that kind of box office.
Right. Just right. Arthur Fleck, the movie, is not a big deal.
But the fact that they had young Bruce Wayne in the movie or Thomas Wayne in the movie, I don't think that had anything to do with its success.
It didn't.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't know what he was actually trying to say with that statement.
No, he's trying to say that it's a good movie on its own merits. Its success has nothing to do with being the Joker.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah, because because if it was just like, you know, Joe Schmo.
Right. Arthur
Fleck.
Dresses
as a clown and kills people.
Right.
You know, nobody goes to see it. You know, it's just another movie.
Or what if he doesn't even dress as a clown? It's just another guy that goes on a rampage.
Right.
And
it's
a movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have that initial draw and that initial, like, apprehension that we had. It doesn't have that initial buzz. It doesn't have anything if it's not tied to Batman.
No, right, I agree. The name recognition, the brand recognition to Batman absolutely played into the success of it. And I don't know how he can even, honestly, I don't know how he could think otherwise. Like, he's a pretty intelligent guy.
Right.
Like, it might have, like, the movie might have, like I said, let's say it was called Arthur Fleck. And then otherwise it was basically the exact same movie. Now, it might have picked up steam and done well at the box office eventually, but it wouldn't have had that initial, like, surge of people going to see it, you know, just because it was a movie about another guy. Because, you know, other than that, it's just Taxi Driver.
Right.
Or, you know, anything else.
So let me, I'll give you a quote. It's like, so here's from the report. Speaking to Deadline, Phillips was asked about the success of Joker and if it stemmed from the character's origin in the DC universe. More specifically, if the popularity of the character was due to his dynamic with Batman. His answer was, quote, I think it was more than that, Phillips said. I mean, I think there are themes in the movie that really resonated with people, end quote. The success started before you even saw the movie.
Right, exactly. I agree with what he's saying in that statement.
Oh, I do too.
But you have to get people in the door first.
Right.
And what got him in the door were not the themes of the movie. It was the brand recognition of Batman.
Exactly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have named it Joker.
Right. I mean, I do agree that movie could have been made with any other, like, it could have been anybody else,
yeah.
And it still would have been the same movie.
Yeah.
You know, because other than the fact that he said he was the Joker, it really didn't have a lot to do with, you know, the Joker or Batman. So, it could have been anybody.
Other than that, but it's kind of portraying the Joker, that is the style of the Joker, that nut job that
right.
This is
but
potentially
again, that could be,
one of the origins that could be, you know, in his mind,
but it
whatever.
Could also have been any other mentally disturbed individual.
Right. Take me, for example.
So, exactly.
I knew you were going there. I just had to jump back before you did. All right. We got an interesting tweet, too, since the last time we talked. So, this comes from Ryan, I believe in you and you do too, @NUEXGUY. I don't know how to Nukes guy?
New X guy?
I don't know. All right. Anyways, so he tweeted, he goes, I am 31 and grew up watching OG Star Wars Episode 1 came out when I was 11. I begged my dad to take me. I begged him to leave after the pod racing scene. I've seen Episodes 2 and 3 maybe once each. 7 was okay. 8 was an abomination. Haven't seen 9. How does that skew at Brightside Chat? My question is, what does that mean? How does that skew? Do you know what that means?
Wait, I say, I'm not even sure what he's asking there.
Yeah, I don't know what the how does that skew mean. Like, what is it? But he goes on in the next tweet to us is, I do agree on the next steps. I loved Rogue One, and that is the type of Star Wars I want to see going forward. If the next thing they give us is Skywalker related, I'm out. Everyone wants to turn Obi-Wan into Star Wars Jesus, but I want to see the galaxy, not the same recycled characters. I think that's along what you were saying the other day.
Well, it is now. But again, I also said if we get another, like if the next trilogy is the Rey trilogy, like I'm in for that too.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm not going to be in for it or like that I'm not going to watch it. It's just I would also like to see them start portraying other parts of the galaxy.
Right.
And start looking into other stories. But I'm definitely not out on whatever comes next. I will never be out on Star Wars ever.
Right.
I don't care what it is.
Right.
You know, you know, and again, I'm not here to start telling people that they're the wrong kind of Star Wars fan, because that's actually what I hate about Star Wars fans.
Right.
But I love Star Wars.
I'd like to get a little more detail on this question.
You know, I consider myself an OG fan. Like, I was 7 years old when it came out. So, I mean.
Right.
Like, you don't get much more OG than that.
Right.
But you can't give me something that's going to make me never want to watch Star Wars again.
No.
I don't care what it is. Even if there's a movie that I don't love, I'm never going to be out. I'm not quite sure what the question was there.
Yeah, that's what I'd like, a little more detail on it, because I'm looking at it, and I was thinking about when I got it earlier today, and I was like, well, he grew up on the original Star Wars, watched them all before he was 11. Then Episode 1 came out. He was so excited to see it, but he was out at the pod racing scene.
And how old was he? 11?
11.
You said?
Yeah. And I'm surprised
at 11. I don't know how you're out at 11 years old on that scene, because like at 22, I wasn't great on it, but at 11, like, that's what you're all about, right? Scenes like that.
I thought, actually, during that scene, I was like, well, they're going to make a video game, because I thought that was designed to, like, sell video games. I just like a little more detail. I'm not saying his opinions are wrong or anything.
No,
I mean,
again, nobody's opinion's ever wrong.
Right.
Because it's their opinion.
Yeah. But, no, I know. But yeah, it's like 7, and he hasn't seen 9 yet.
Then it's wrong. But
I have been told. Multiple times.
But again, like, so how can you, you know, once again, and I don't want to offend anybody, but how can you say you're out on the new trilogy of movies if you've never even seen them?
No, that's what I mean. I'd like to know. I'd like some more detail on this, because I'd love to come back to this.
Like, you cannot sell me on the fact that your opinion is, I thought he said he never saw.
Saw what? The original?
I thought that's what you just said. The new trilogy.
Oh, no. He saw 7. It was okay. 8 was an abomination.
He saw them. Okay.
And he hasn't seen 9 yet. He hasn't seen 9.
I misheard that. Yeah, you had said he hadn't seen 7, 8, or 9. Because, again, I can't even consider your opinion valid if you're judging it never seeing it.
No. So, no, he saw them.
If you saw it and you don't like it, that's fine.
You know what? Honestly, I think his opinion, like I said, tweet us again. Let us know. If you want to send an email more in depth, do that at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And I'd love to get more of an opinion, because everything, it's tough in a tweet too, but everything I'm seeing here, he sounds like, so like if you and I are like a 10 of Star Wars fans, and then like the average is like a 7, he's like a 6. Like he's a notch down. Like, you know what I mean? Like his opinions are a notch down of ours on all these. Episode 1 was that was his least favorite of the original 3, because he wanted to walk out of it. And then he saw 2 and 3 maybe once each, but he never specifies what he thought of that. So you got to imagine he finished the movie, so he liked them a little better. You know what I mean? So, and then 7 was okay, which everybody has, we loved it. Most people loved it.
Right.
And most people think 8 was bad. And you and I even were like, well, it wasn't so good. Then we saw it again and it kind of changed our opinions. But he sounds like he's right in the ballpark with everybody else. Just take him a notch down from there. But in nowhere in here does it say how much he loved the, you know, OG.
Right.
To use their lingo. He is 31. But yeah, I'd love to get more detail on all the movies. That'd be fun. It was a good tweet.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just not quite sure what he's asking us to answer.
Yeah, I don't know how does that skew? I don't know what that means. Maybe I'm too old. Right. I meant to ask my kids.
Yeah, I'm 50, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to be 50 soon, too.
3 weeks.
Dang. Man, are we going to have to do a special Bright Side?
We might.
Well, it will be a Bright Side. There's going to be 50 damn candles on that thing.
We'd be the burning the house down side.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Is that all you got?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't have anything else here.
Like I said, that's all I had for news.
It's only been a little while.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get to, they've seen the title. I always pretend like we're keeping it a secret, but it's the title. It kind of blows it right there.
It was like when we did the Rise of Skywalker spoiler show and we didn't want to talk about her being Palpatine's granddaughter.
Oh my God.
Everybody already knows. I don't know why we're trying to dance around.
If you haven't seen the movie.
Well, put it in the title. Put it in the notes.
Yeah, I only have so many.
Well, you can cut it out.
You know what's funny? I talk to more people and they're like, "Oh, I don't read the notes." Oh, great. We type up those damn things every week.
Again, I mean, at this 2 weeks later, if you haven't seen it yet, you don't care that much about the spoiler anyway.
Yeah, exactly. No, what are you waiting for? Well, unless you're TJ and he waited like 6 months to see Endgame. And then once he finally saw it, he binged Brightside. So I can't fault him for that.
No, hey, me either.
So let's get to Brightburn.
Yeah.
I searched and searched for a trailer for this. And we'll talk about it in the movie when we get into it. We'll play this little clip because all of the trailers are very image heavy. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the clip.
Whatever you've done, I know there is good inside you.
All right. Short, sweet. I would love to have played the trailer because it's just fun. I like doing that. Even sometimes I like edit them down because it'll be just a lot of nonsense of music and I'll just chop that out. But these ones, this movie, let's go spoiler free for a little while. Give our opinion of the movie because to be honest, you and I hadn't seen this movie until now. So I'm sure there are people that haven't seen it. I think it's worth to give our opinion of it because I think it's worth seeing. I definitely think it's worth seeing. My point in that whole trailer thing I was saying is this movie is very image heavy in that it draws on our comic book knowledge, but it has nothing to do with comic books or any continuity or whatever, any canon. Right. It's a made up character, much like The Boys. Actually, I've heard stuff that this might have been founded or did you see anything like that? That it could have come from The Boys, like the idea of it?
I didn't see anything about that, no.
I thought I saw that back when we were doing The Boys and where
This was one that originally, like, it flew way under the radar for me. Like, I had no idea that this was even being made. It's not like I had ever heard of it until I started seeing trailers online that it was coming out. So it kind of snuck up on me, that it even existed. Like I said, to my knowledge, it's not based on any prior IP like this is a completely original. Well, it's original is in the sense that the characters are all original. Like I said, we'll get into it a little bit more. Well, I mean, most people even know what it's about. I mean, the themes are very comic.
In the trailer. If you watch the trailer, it looks like they're talking about Clark Kent.
Right. It's pretty much bad Superman.
Yeah.
You know, is really what it is.
It's actually bad Clark. It's bad Clark before he becomes Superman because he's that child.
True. Yeah, true. Yeah. But when I first saw this, though,
the trailer, you mean?
I don't think this is a spoiler necessarily, but when I first saw this, what popped into my mind, because they always say, like, the question always comes up when you talk about Superman is, what happens to Kal-El if he wasn't found by the Kents?
Right. We've had that conversation. Yep.
Right. What happens if he, and we kind of get that with Red Son a little bit, you know, that storyline, but it's basically like what happens if he's found by a couple of, you know, skeezbag parents or whatever. So that's kind of what I thought this movie was, but it really wasn't because they weren't bad parents either. Like, he wasn't molded to be bad because he had bad parents. Like, his parents in this movie were no really different than the Kents when it comes to the parenting. So it was more like it was just in the kid itself, you know.
You're right. It's not really a spoiler because we know it's the entire basis of the movie is, you know.
Right. It's basically bad Superman.
Bad Clark Kent.
Bad Clark.
But what I would say, bad Clark. But what I would say to that is, all right, we'll get in. We'll delve more into that in spoilers because
I can't go into it too much more unless we actually start talking about it.
Right.
So. But I guess, you know, to give my impression of it, I enjoyed the movie. It's not ever going to be one of my favorites, though. Like, it's not going to be a go-to for me. Like, it's something that I'm going to have to watch over and over again.
Right.
You know, and I'm not saying that I'll never watch it again, but it's not one of those ones that I'm just chomping at the bit to watch again. You know, really the genre is horror. You know, it's not a superhero story.
Right.
In any way. This is a horror movie more than anything.
Very gory.
It is very gory. You know, there's a lot of a lot of blood. Like I said, there's a lot of killing in it, but it's not like John Wick killing, where it's just basically people getting shot. Like,
oh,
this is
no.
dismemberment. Like, this is, you know, yeah. gory.
We'll get
killing.
Into it in spoilers, yeah. and we can. You've seen
so
it before.
If that's not right, but if that's not so, but I'm saying if that's not your cup of tea, then this movie might not be for you.
Right.
Like, for instance, my wife didn't like it at all. Like, we sat right. down and we watched it together, and she didn't like. She hated it. She didn't like it, any of it. I almost turned it off and came back to it alone.
Oh, really?
You know. Yeah, because she really didn't like it, but, you know, I kind of just pushed through and we, you know, we watched it.
Right.
But, so again, it has to be your thing, because this is not a feel-good movie in any way. So,
no. It definitely, spoiler-free, it definitely has a really good horror feel tied with a comic book feel, which I thought right. was a pretty original take. Because
it is.
I mean, we do read horror comics, but when I say right. a comic book feel, I mean, you know, Capes and Cowls comic book feel.
Yeah.
Honestly, before this, I haven't really thought of that idea. I mean, before this movie, we're excited about Logan. We're excited about Deadpool. All the, you know, our rated right. our Joker rated R movies, and this goes to another level. It, yes. you know, and I think, imagine if they made an actual canon movie like this, like, cause I mean, it's horror, but, and this is going to sound silly, but it's like based in reality. If you're in the comic book world, like this right. isn't super not like, imagine a horror, I don't know, name a horror movie that's like super, like a Freddy. Or,
right,
you know,
right. It's not
like,
monster.
It's not
yeah,
a monster.
Right. It's not like monster movies in the sense. Right. Well, like,
it's not
I would
fake
say, like,
imaginary stuff. This is like Superman.
Right. Well, right. I'm trying to think of like what you were saying, like Freddy or even like Hell, like
Jason,
Pinheads and things like that.
Pinhead,
well,
yeah.
Jason's again, that's why I didn't say Jason, because he is actually more grounded in reality than the other ones.
Maybe,
in a
yeah.
sense, because, you know, he's more just a guy with a machete.
But he has no superpowers.
Right.
He just walks.
Right. Mike Myers, like Halloween, those kind of characters
right.
that are kind of based in reality,
but
too.
We'll get into more
you know,
of it
quotes.
In spoilers, too. But I think it's a unique way to make a horror movie. It's a unique way to make a comic book movie. It's definitely worth a watch. It's definitely worth a rental.
For sure. Yes.
You know, if you haven't seen it. I'm sure there's people that loved it because I have.
Right. Right, I'm sure there are.
I really liked it, and I'm glad I bought it. The funny thing is, you know, shameless plug, I can't wait to do this. I'm doing this for my next week's, coming out on Friday's podcast for the home theater one, because, well, you and I decided to do this literally a day ago.
Yesterday.
And you yeah. already owned it. I didn't have the 4K. Right. I had to go to 3 Best Buys to find it. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. And I was just going to rent it. But I'm glad I tracked it down because, you know, like I said, I'll talk about it in the home theater one. It's definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah, it was. Like, I had it cranked up and
yeah.
there was a, you know, from the, you know, from the video and the audio quality, it was really
right.
impressive. Like,
but it's
I thought
a fun
both of them were really good.
Yeah, but it's also a fun story to rent and watch on TV. It's like, you know,
sure.
it's an interesting, fun take. Definitely
right.
gory.
Like you said, I'm glad I own it. I'm glad I own it. And,
yeah.
you know, I could see myself popping it in at some point in the future and watching it again.
Absolutely.
But it's not, it's never going to be one, like, I didn't love it. You
right.
know, like, it's not going to be one of those ones where I watch it every year or that I go back to, or if I find it on TV, I'm going to watch it every time I find
oh,
it
no.
on.
Oh, so
no. You know.
Some stuff that's tough to watch, but.
Yeah.
But, all right. You, that enough spoiler free?
I think so.
All right, we ready? You want to lock the door because we're going to go into spoilers here. Kryptonite
sure.
Key Club time.
That's right.
All right, first back to what we were just talking about, how we were saying how it's not really the parents' fault.
Right.
You know, like you had said many times before, like what would Superman be like if it wasn't for Martha and Jonathan?
Right.
And I was thinking this at the beginning of the movie when they showed all of those scenes of him as a baby, of
right.
And what's the character
Brandon
Breyer,
which it was
Brandon
first Breyer, thing that
which
came
is
to my mind
alliteration.
Was the alliteration. It was
yeah.
BB instead of
instead of
LLs
or LLs
and,
or whatever. And it's like again, and we can get into that, very image heavy, showing the mailbox, yeah, the farmland, the this and that.
It looked, right, it looked just like,
oh my God. Yeah. Was, and all that
it
stuff
looked like
in the
beginning
trailers
to Man of Steel, really.
Yeah,
yeah,
it did. But what I was thinking is, and you know at the beginning of this movie where it's going, and
yes,
they jump right into it. It's you come in and the parents are in bed and they open the movie with looking at books on how to conceive. So clearly, right, they're having trouble having a child. And then there's a big crash. Quite literally, there's a big crash outside, and here we, right, go. And then it jumps 10 years ahead, whatever. Or they show.
The first thing I thought was, that's pretty convenient.
That... of course you did. There's no, a ton of kidding convenience in this movie.
I'm just kidding. Like, I did not judge this movie on that, because I looked at it for what it was. Like, I knew what
you
we were getting.
We're into 2020 now, our third year of podcasting, because we were in 18, 19. Now
our actually second decade of podcasting, exactly, if you want to be, you know, if you want to really be there.
We're going to get kicked off the Nerdy Legion.
I know. But, you know, I guess it didn't. I judge movies differently going into them based on what I expect out of them.
Of course, yeah.
Like, there's certain things, like, you know, not to go back to Endgame again, but, like, I expected certain things out of, yeah, Endgame, so maybe I was a little bit more critical. With this, you know, I knew it was a 90-minute movie, and I knew exactly what it was going to be,
right,
when we got there, so I wasn't really looking to be critical of that stuff. I just took it as it came. But it was a little convenient that, like, as soon as we find out they're trying to have a kid, once one crashes into their backyard, you know, so.
Well, yeah, he couldn't have crashed in the backyard of an orphanage or something.
Right.
Or somebody that has like eight kids.
Right.
But anyways, so the next scene they show is him as a baby. And
right,
it's all of these cute little pictures, and they're setting you, right, up. And what I thought of, like when we were talking earlier and spoiler free, I'm like, yeah, well, even Ted Bundy was a cute kid. And it's not,
right,
it's not his parents' fault that he has a, I mean, you know, Brandon clearly has an agenda that's been put into him. He's,
well, right, and that's what I wanted to say.
Being called to do what he did.
Right, that's what I actually wanted to say too, because when I was talking earlier, when I said it wasn't the parents' fault, he was just a bad kid, I don't,
right,
actually think he was.
No.
Like, I think up until the point where he starts having, like, starts getting calls from the spaceship or whatever, I think he was a good kid. Like, he was,
right,
not evil. Like, he
smart
wasn't thinking
kid
bad thoughts.
Yeah.
Right, smart kid, good in school, picked on a little bit because he's smart, but had a good relationship with both his parents. So I don't think the kid was inherently bad. I think he was
pre-programmed to whatever,
right,
he's here for.
Unlike Superman, where he was sent to Earth to save himself from a dying planet, we don't ever find out exactly why this kid was sent to Earth, but my impression is that he was sent to take over Earth. Like, that was his mission.
Right.
And basically, he was dormant until he was activated.
Right.
So, I don't think he was a bad kid necessarily, but his programming took over.
So...
But then a lot of what happens, a lot of what you see going forward is because he's a kid. Like, he,
right,
he takes offense to things, and he, like, he acts the way a kid would act. You know, most kids don't have superpower. Like, most kids can't do what he can do.
Right.
You know, cause kids throw a tantrum. You tell a kid they can't do something, they throw a tantrum or whatever. The difference in this one is when the dad goes to grab him to send him to his room, he can't move him.
Right.
You know, that doesn't normally happen.
Right.
So,
thank God.
I think he's doing things that normal kids would do.
Right.
Until he realizes, hey, I can do things that normal kids can't do.
Yeah. And or adults.
You know, right. That basically nobody can do. I think maybe if they tried to activate him, for lack of a better term, maybe when he was 18 or 19,
well,
as opposed to when he was like 10 or 11.
So that's
maybe he responds differently.
Right. Well, I'm wondering if he was like, I don't think he was activated. How do I put this? Well, bluntly, I don't think the spaceship woke up one day and said, we're going to start calling on him. I think what was happening, it was very similar to puberty in us, in that it's just, this is stuff that's going on in his head now. And it's like he's maturing into these thoughts, because it was, you know, he's right around that time, and that's why they had that conversation in the woods when the dad was telling him about it. It's okay to touch it. And how about it? Brandon's
right
like, right now? What? Yeah. No, not right now. Yeah. He goes, good talk.
Well, see, again, I don't know. Maybe that's where, and, you know, again, because it doesn't do a good job of really explaining what the motive, like we, even by the end of the movie, we don't really know.
Right. And that's a question I have for, I wanted to wrap up on that. All right. So let's come back to that.
But what I was saying in that is, like, I didn't take it the same way you did. I took it like, literally the ship did wake up and say, okay, he hit 12 years. Like, I think it had a timeline.
Right.
And when the kid hit a certain age, it activated, like the ship activated and said, okay, now it's time to turn this kid on.
Well, I got news for you. When I turned 12, I pretty much got activated.
Right. Now, in your opinion, it could be just
you
as
were
correct.
Like, you were like 10, right, when you got activated?
Yeah.
If I remember you right.
Right. But,
hey, but that was
my
blushing.
Point. Like, yeah, I know. My point is either one of these could be right or wrong because we never get the answer. Like, we don't really ever know. Like, the movie ends and we don't get an answer from, like, we don't know what his people are. We don't know, like, we don't know anything about him at all.
Right.
Like, you know, you never find out about his race, where he came from, why he's there. But he has this message that says, take over the world.
Right.
My impression was that the ship was putting that into his head.
Yeah.
Because those times where he was interacting with the ship and kind of receiving those messages, like he was blank, like he wasn't there.
Right.
Like the kid was like in a trance or whatever by this ship. So that's why I don't necessarily think he was growing into his own thoughts, because something physically was happening to him. You know, he was shaking in his bed and like his eyes were rolled back and he kind of was like, I don't want to say hypnotized, but it was kind of like, yes, the information was being downloaded into his brain almost.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's just how I take it.
Right.
We don't really know.
It could be the exact same thing. It could be exactly that, and that was set to trigger at that prepubescent time or whatever it is for that kid. But I didn't look at that deep into it because one of the things that I did like about this movie is that, all that being said, there are so many questions throughout this movie.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It really was like, look, we're going to make this movie because we want to shoot these scenes.
Right.
And they're great scenes. And and the scenes tell the story. And it's almost like they wrote a comic book and they did all the panels. And that's what we just got. And later, we're going to fill in the bubble, you know, the dialogue bubbles. And because everything was basically, you know, very plotted out.
Right.
Minimal information. You don't know where he came from. You don't know any of that. And I think that really plays to this movie because it lets you interpret it like this, lets you just enjoy the ride, the horror ride that it is. Right. And like I said, we'll wrap up with the final idea that I have for it. But what didn't you like?
Nothing. I mean, there was really nothing I didn't like because this movie was exactly what I expected it to be. You know, like, there's nothing that it didn't deliver on. Like, because I didn't know exactly what the story was, but I knew enough about it that it was exactly what I was expecting. So there wasn't really anything that I didn't like about it. I can't really be critical of anything and say, well, maybe if they would have done this or done that. Like, in one sense, I would have liked to have had some more explanation. But then on the other hand, I'm really happy that we did, like, just the way that it is, because it's very very arbitrary, you know, and like, we don't really know. So, kind of like, you know, I don't want to say intellectual, because I'm far from an intellectual, but like, the intellectual side of me wants the answers, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know. But just the emotional or the carefree part of me or whatever is glad that we didn't get it. You know, it was kind of like the same thing when we talked about Rise of Skywalker. It's like, I'm glad that they didn't really go into a detail and tell us why Palpatine, they didn't give us all the answers and I didn't need them.
Right.
You know, and I kind of felt that way with this too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really need the answers, but like I said, there is a part of me in my brain that wants to know and would have liked to have had that. that's just a long way of saying, of answering that, but I just, there's nothing really that I didn't like.
Yeah, me neither. I didn't think it was slow in any parts.
No.
But I also didn't think it had like a tremendous pace to it either. It's not like you were,
Wasn't like
you
breakneck
were on the
speed,
edge of your
like,
seat at times.
You but were, but it wasn't so fast paced.
You couldn't keep up.
Right, right.
What felt, was your what,
like? You didn't. I didn't feel tired after it. You know
no,
what I mean? Like
no.
watching Endgame or something like
yeah,
that.
Oh
you
my
kind
God,
of feel
yeah.
exhausted by yeah. the end, and you know it wasn't like that. But like you said,
and
it wasn't slow either.
You know
like
what else? It was a nice crisp hour and a half.
That's what I mean. It was 90 minutes. It
yeah.
was like just you get in, you get out, you watch it. And,
yeah.
You know, because again, they could have made it a 2-hour movie and given us 30 minutes of backstory and. It would have been a fine 2-hour movie, but like,
yeah,
it didn't really need it.
No,
you know, it just no. was okay the way yeah. it was.
What was your favorite scene? We're in spoilers, so
I mean, it's great. Well, no, I'm trying to think. It's like probably the. It's not really. It's a pretty gross scene, but yeah. I like the scene in where he basically the waitress. He killed the waitress, like his first kill, basically.
Oh, with the glass into her eye.
With the glass in the eye and all that. Cause, you know, on the one hand, I'm like wincing as she's pulling it out, but I'm like, but I was watching it and I was like, that's pretty damn cool. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
But
like,
you never actually see him kill her.
No, you don't, but it was more that.
He just hits her like a, literally like a freight train. And then the scene goes black, you know?
Right. But then other than that, some of the imagery of him like float, you know, just kind of, like that scene where the mom first comes out and he's got his back to her, but he's like floating.
Floating, yeah.
I thought that was pretty, you know, kind of creepy and cool.
So the final end scene I thought was, I was telling, Joe hasn't seen it yet. And I came out of, he was doing homework and I come out of the theater and I'm telling him about it. I'm like, this is so good. I'm like, and it's, I could have said this spoiler free, but one of the, that end scene when he was at the farmhouse and just obliterating everybody else, right? And the sheriff, he pulls the whatever, what was his name? Freight Train or whatever in The Boys?
Yeah. Was it Freight Train?
It was something like that. But
Soul Train? No, it wasn't Soul Train. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was something though.
Something like that. But he just like he just ran right through him. Completely obliterated him. And then what I thought was a lot of fun was the deputy there, the woman with the shotgun or whatever she had. And she's like walking down the hall and she's got it out like anybody would do, right? And in a normal situation, if I've got a gun and there's somebody coming to get me, they have to jump out and surprise me without me shooting them. So they're going to hide. And he was hiding just so he could screw with them.
Right.
Because he could just kill her. He could just show up, let her shoot him all the way. All you hear and you see is these flashes of him going all around and he's just scaring the hell out of people because he can. And I thought it was like, he doesn't want to just kill you. He wants to torture you and watch you die, which is what he did with his uncle when his jaw fell off.
Well, I was going to say, another one of my favorite scenes. That was pretty gruesome.
Public service announcement. Please, everybody, wear your seatbelts. If you have an angry nephew that wants to drop your car from about 60 feet, you're going to want a seatbelt on.
But even, like you said, that whole cat and mouse thing, too, because, again, he was screwing with them in a sense. Like, he could have got him any time.
He could have all killed them inside of, like, 3 seconds. Every single one of them. Instead, he screws with them.
But, like, the Idiot of the Day award goes to the dad. For shooting him in the head.
That was great.
He already went through the exposition of saying he's never been hurt, he's never been bruised, he's never been cut. Like, I don't know what you thought you were going to accomplish there, but like when he shoots him in the back of the head and the kid just goes, like, ow, it turns around.
I don't even think he said ow. It just,
no, I think he just
sparked off his head.
Yeah.
Ting.
He just like touched his head and turned around and is like, ugh. You know, that was pretty cool. And then, and then the dad begging for his life. He's like, please don't hurt me. He's
language.
Like, you just shot me in the head. You know? It's like, sorry, you'll have to bleep that out.
Yeah.
But it's like, where was that compassion when you shot me in the head?
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? It's like, and then, of course, you think that it's going to end with the mother killing him, right? I mean, that's what you expect. Like, she gets the piece of the ship that somehow can hurt him. And you're like, okay, she's going to hug him, and she's going to stab him and kill him, and that's going to be the end of the movie, happy ending, almost, you know, because she's still going to be sad that she killed her kid. But it's
right.
Like, but when she ever reaches back, and then he just, you know, grabs her arm, and you're like, okay, this isn't going to end well at all.
No.
And, but then you know, like, right away, that's when I knew that, like, this kid wasn't going down before the end of this movie. Like,
right. Yeah.
The only one that had a chance of killing him was the mom, and
right.
she failed. I said, that's it. You know, and I know, I guess I'll stop, because I know you want to get to this part at the end, as far as, like, the end scene of the movie and stuff like that, but.
I mean, we can get to that. I have a last question.
Well, what I was
going to
say is just, like, because you know now, like, I don't think this movie ever gets a sequel. Like, I don't think they'll make a sequel to it. I don't know if they need to. But my point is, like, I love the way that the movie ended. Like, when this movie ends, you know that this kid is going to spend the next 50 years just wreaking havoc on everything.
Right.
And you kind of get to see a little bit of it at the end credits
right.
or, but it just ends. Like, you know that there's no force on earth that's going to be able to stop this kid. And he's just going to go on for his whole life just terrorizing everybody.
Well,
because when the movie ends, he goes to the trouble to try to make himself look innocent. You know, like, he brings that whole plane down just to cover up the fact that he killed his parents.
Well, I don't think he didn't plan that. That was a matter of convenience.
Well, it was
the plane
it, right,
showed
it was,
up,
it,
and then he's like,
right,
oh, look,
again,
everything
it was
just
convenience,
died.
But right. he's like, I'm going to bring this plane down because then it'll hide the bodies. But, like, why did he even care?
Right.
Because even at the end, when things are happening, he's not revealing to anybody that he's the one doing it. At a certain point, he's going to be like, I don't care who, like, if they know or not. Like,
right.
I'm going to do all this with my face wide out. I'm not going to have a mask on. Why do I care? They can't stop me. You
right.
know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm literally going to take over the earth and set myself up as the ruler, and everybody's going to know who I am. I don't
right.
know why. I don't even know why go to the charade of trying to hide yourself at that point. He
right.
wasn't afraid of anybody.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? But again, that's what I did. Like, I guess I did spoil what you wanted to talk about, but.
Well, no, because I still have my question. Don't worry.
But, like, I don't want a sequel. That's the whole thing, is, like, I don't want any more answers when it comes to, like, I don't want the sequel. Because if we get a sequel, it has to end with them killing him, finally. You know what I mean?
Right.
Otherwise, why do it? I think it's just great the way it is. Like, it's
yeah.
left. It's left to the imagination, to where you know that this kid's going to go on a reign of terror. We don't have to see it to know that it's going to happen. And we're never really going to know what the outcome is. Like, we don't know what his lifespan is, if he can.
But see, that's the thing. And that's the question I have. And the one of the
or
things.
Or is he
so
the
like,
harbinger of.
What's
is
that?
He the harbinger of a big invasion? Like, is he just the first wave? Like, is he just the ground assault?
Right.
And everybody else comes.
Yeah. What,
you know?
And what's funny is, so before I get to that, one of the things, the last thing I liked about him and his, like, he liked to torture. He didn't
right.
want to just kill you. He wanted to torture you.
Right.
Pretty much every victim he tortured before he killed
right.
them.
He did.
Including
he
his own.
He definitely took
his
took
own
delight
mother.
In it. Right.
And he brings her up and just watches her fall.
Right.
And
it's really the whole pulling the wings off the flies or whatever,
right.
you know.
That's another question about this movie. It's like, if he was just programmed to take over, then he'd just kill and
right.
dominate, right? He has something in him that it's more than killing. It's more than dominating the planet. That's what, you know, we'll get to it. The last question is, could they make a sequel that would be compelling? And I agree with you, and I see exactly what you're saying. It doesn't need a sequel. And I kept saying that while I was watching the movie, because I was wondering, where does this go? And like you said, is he going to survive this movie? And then when you see him kill his own mother, you're like, well, yep, he's surviving.
Right.
At almost every point that you made tonight, you're like, but we don't know that. And we don't know this.
Right.
And we don't know
well,
that.
No, we don't.
And those would be fun questions to get answered. And I think somebody like, if James Gunn was to do, I trust him. I think he's
right.
creative enough. I think, you know, his team that he put together for this movie, it's a very creative movie in almost every aspect. I think they could do it in a creative way that would make it compelling enough and not just your stereotypical, okay, here's it. Now that was our introduction and now watch him go on a rampage. I don't think these people would make that movie because they didn't make that movie here.
Right.
They, you know, they left, they wanted to make a movie and they left so many questions that they could make movies just about each question we had. Where
right.
did he come from? Where does it go from here? They did show that he's vulnerable, so he can, right. If you can bleed.
Well, right. He's vulnerable to, right. If you can bleed, we can kill you. Right. And again, he is obviously, like, whatever his ship was made out of is his kryptonite.
Right.
Right, in a sense.
But we don't know, but that's the thing. We don't know the names of anything. We don't know
right,
where he's from. There's so much information that they could still do another movie and just give us like two pieces of information, leave right. it very intriguing. The one person that knew that he can bleed is now dead. So right. somebody has to learn that again. You know, right. there's a...
And the kid probably is now, like if I'm the kid, the first thing I do is make sure that ship is gone, like it's gone.
Well, that's
like,
the thing. Nobody now that plane has crashed there, what did he do with his ship? He had to right. have moved it because right. when the crash investigator is going to be like, well, this is an interesting thing in the barn.
Well, right. But again, if I know that that's the only thing that can hurt me, I'm making it go away.
Right.
You know, like Superman locks up all the kryptonite because he doesn't want anybody to have it.
Right.
I guess my question, well, not even a question, you know, just more thoughts on it, but like if he was, like let's say he was the ground assault to an invasion.
Yep. And
it's
air.
An invasion, right, but it's an invasion by a people that would have the same powers as he has, right?
Not necessarily. What if he was a gifted? What if he was like a Captain America of his race and they sent him in ahead? You know what I mean?
Well, but he was an infant, so he would have had to have been engineered.
Right.
Right.
So but you if just they can answered engineer your question.
Him. Well, right, but I'm saying is right. But my point is if they have that technology, they don't need a ground, they don't need an opening force.
Right.
They can come in force and nothing we could do could stop right. them. So, like, you don't have to send a probe, you just come.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So maybe that's not what he's here for, and it's just, or maybe they know, like, we send one, we get that planet, and they send those right. all over. Who knows? There's a million, we've read a million comic books on why and how that this could happen. And that,
right.
You know,
no, I'm just saying, I'm just thinking
about
out
the
loud,
movie.
You know?
oh,
like
yeah,
I said, I don't, cause I don't know the answer.
Thinking
I'm
in
just
your
theorizing.
Head makes for a bad podcast.
Yeah, I'm just theorizing out loud as I think of things. But,
right.
But you're right. If it's a race that's advanced enough to get him here and do all that, they don't need to come in secret. Like, they could
right.
just come and, you know,
right.
we really couldn't stop him. You're right. I don't know if that's necessarily why he
for
was
for all
there
we
in
know,
the first
he's
place.
A bad egg from his race.
Or maybe they would, maybe he's the test. Maybe it's like, we're going to send him to see if this works.
Right.
And then if it works, now we're coming in force because we're going to do this over and over again.
Yeah, but what if he's the Ted Bundy of his race and we just got, right. you know, Earth was unlucky. You know, for all we know, it's like, that would be a pretty cool story. Like, how many people would have thought of that? Like, that right. you come in and it's like, the next movie, you're like, you get a bunch of aliens that show up apologizing.
To help you. Right.
And they're like, we are so sorry.
Yeah. He's grounded. We're going to take him yeah. home. He's in timeout.
Yeah, no movies uh-huh. for him for 2 weeks.
Right.
I think all of that in itself is what makes this – I mean, it's definitely watchable. It's definitely something to check out, I think.
The other thing I wonder is, like, this is obviously – it's not a DC movie. And, like, he is not Superman. But, like,
no.
did they have to get permission from DC to make this movie, I wonder? Because the similarity –
he had a red cape?
Well, no, but think about it. Like, why does DC own Shazam? They own Shazam because that character was similar enough to infringe on their copyright, and they won in a court case the rights to Shazam. Well, this movie never says anywhere that he's Superman or Krypton or anything, but he is similar. Like, anybody knows that this is the Superman legend. Even if you look at the front box of the, like, if you look at the DVD cover,
right.
it says a dark take on a familiar superhero legend. Like,
right.
there's no doubt that this is Superman.
Right.
Like, was this made with DC's blessing, I wonder? Or do they just not care enough to pursue
know.
It in court or what have you, you know? I mean, I could see James Gunn saying, hey,
yeah.
we want to do this. Are you okay with it? And maybe they said they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering because they've won suits with less. Like,
yeah.
to me, this is more similar to Superman than Shazam ever was.
Well, that might be why they didn't give us any information because
right.
there's no facts. There's nothing to tie him in. All it is, and like I said, there's a ton of imagery. Did you see the smiley face on the wall, which made me think of Watchmen? It was like an evil
no.
smiley face. So the mom's an artist.
But...
it was one of
right.
her pieces. And
okay.
in their house on the wall is like she had painted a canvas and there was some like colors on the canvas, but the main part of it, it was a smiley face.
Right.
And it just reminded me of like, I'm like,
Watchmen.
Is that a nod to Watchmen? You know, when he's laying in bed, his covers are arranged in a way in blue and red. Right. And it looks like, you know, almost like Superman in his cape while he, right. as a kid, he's laying in bed. Of course, you have, he has a symbol, which is, right. you know, it's not the S, but it's diamonds. Right. Put into a BB, backwards BB.
Rich, again, can we talk about that? Because, again, conveniently, like, the sheriff put that together. He looks at that and immediately goes to Brandon Breyers. It's like, there's no other BBs anywhere. It's yeah. like, I'm going to go to this 11-year-old kid because it looks like a BB.
Wasn't
like,
it also that, the – I kept trying to check, but wasn't it also the pattern that was on the barn doors, too? You know the X's you put on a barn door?
Right.
I think it might have been. I want oh, that's maybe. One of the things I want to look yeah. back to as well. But yeah, no, he came up with that symbol. He's right. got the only thing he has that Superman doesn't have is a hood.
A mask, right.
You know, maybe just because he didn't have a pair of glasses with him.
Right.
You know, and he didn't have the curly cue in the hair. But all of that, with all the similarities, when was the last time there was a lawsuit? Because there have been a lot of comic books and movie, The Boys is very similar. All their characters are very much like a DC character or a, you know, or
right.
You know what I mean? There's been a lot of, I don't want to call them mirror images, but you know what I mean? A lot of well, parodies, right, let's call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, I don't know.
And nobody sued.
What the, right. I don't know what the current standing is on that. Well, even like, you can just create characters, you know, like you can just create the Submariner and say he's not Aquaman, but he is, you know what I mean? So right. yes, I don't know what the current rules are. I just know that once upon a time, they, you know, DC sued Fawcett Comics to get Shazam because of the similarities.
Right.
But I think what well, again, now we're getting into that history, but what prompted that more than anything was not the fact that they thought he was too similar to Superman. It was that he was becoming more popular than Superman.
Right.
And his books were selling more copies, and DC said, well, you know, we can't have that. Brightburn is never going to, whether you like the Justice League movie or not, Brightburn is never going to make the money that the Justice League made. So right. they're not taking away any money from DC. Whereas at one point, Fawcett was taking money away from DC because they were selling more books. I think it had that more to do with that than it really did the copyright aspect of it. They just wanted to get Shazam off the board so that they could start selling their books again. So yeah, there's not going to be any of that with this movie. Like, Brightburn, I don't even know if it came out in theaters. I'm sure it did.
It did.
But it didn't stay around very long, and it didn't really make any money. So it's and that's another reason why I don't know that we're going to get a sequel to it, because, like, I don't know how profitable it was. It had to cost some amount of money to make. Like,
I got the numbers right here. I just pulled it up. What do you? How much do you think it cost to make?
$80 million. Lower?
Yep.
Yeah, about 68.
Budget. This is IMDb. I'm looking at it right here. Budget, $6 million.
I can't believe that.
Estimated at $6 million.
I mean, it wasn't loaded with practical effects, but I mean, it still had, I don't know. I mean, I believe it because it says it, but I would never have thought that you could make that movie for $6 million.
So, opening weekend.
You can't even make the Bionic Man for $6 million.
I bet you that would have been a good name
yeah.
for the show.
Yeah.
Steve Austin, $6 million man. Opening weekend, it made its money back plus an extra $1,845,658. So it made $7,845,000 opening weekend domestic. We never do numbers. I just pulled it up. So what the heck?
No, I know.
It grossed domestic $17 million, and worldwide it did $32 million.
Right. So, which, I mean, it's not like lighting the world on fire, but compared to what it cost to make, that's a success. You know, I mean, I guess that would warrant a sequel.
Actually,
you know what I mean?
Probably percentage wise, it probably.
I think it did better than Endgame.
no, you would. Well, if Endgame cost.
$300 million,
and this one cost $630 million. So this made five times what it was worth. So,
well, Endgame still did more than that. Endgame did $3 billion. So
yeah,
that's yeah, it did definitely more than that. Five times. But percentage wise, it was better than
it
a lot of
five
blockbuster
times
hits.
More than yeah. what it would have to do. You know, it's like right. I mean, so it did pretty. And the other thing is, if you could bang out another one for $10 million.
Right,
still going to make
do 35, 40. Right, still yeah. do 35 or 40 million.
And, And I, like, the, you know, the producers, the directors of this movie, they're good people. They're not going to put out something for, just right. to make money. You know, I think it would be really good.
Yeah, I'm thinking it made, it cost about $80 million.
Yeah,
it didn't
exactly.
Even, you know, it did 30 in total box office.
$6 million. Kevin Smith can't make a movie for $6 million.
That's what I was going to say. Clerks 2 cost more than that, or, yeah. Whatever. What's the one he's doing now? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back? That cost more than $6 million, probably.
Hey, look it up. I'm telling you, unless I don't know where my commas go, I'm like, either that or it's $600 million.
No, well, I don't. I know that's not right, so.
No, I know. I'm like, 60. No, it's, maybe it's a typo. Maybe it was $60 million, because it's 6,000,000.
That's $6 million.
$6 million, yeah. All right.
Sit corrected.
Yep, there you go. What did you think of the acting? I'll answer that.
I thought
you.
It was pretty good.
Really,
like, the kid,
a lot.
The kid wasn't great. I didn't think the kid was great. But the parents, like the other actors, I think were fine.
Yeah.
I mean, again, nobody's going to win an award from it, but it wasn't bad.
It was
like,
minimal.
Nothing bothered me. Yeah. Nothing bothered me.
It was situational acting.
Really,
the
biggest performance
moment.
Came from Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
You know, she had to portray the heartbroken mother, and I think she came across as very believable. Like,
yeah.
I think she did a really good job. So, I think it was good. Overall.
Yeah, I thought the casting of the dad was great because,
yeah.
What's it say, David Denman? You've
yeah,
seen him in a million things.
I've seen him before, right. I never knew his name, but I've seen him. And honestly, I can't even tell you anything else he's been in, but I know I've seen him a bunch of times.
Right.
You don't have to tell me, but I'm just saying I like him as an actor, so he was good.
What I thought was great was exactly like what you alluded to earlier, in that, you know, your dad grabs a 12-year-old and goes, it's time to go to bed, and you can't move him.
Right.
He's not a normal dad either. He's a big, big guy.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
The stature that they cast for that role was perfect, because it's like he got shoved across the kitchen. And it's like,
yeah.
It's not like a little dad being like, come on, son, go to your bedroom. It's
exactly.
Like, I mean, this guy means business, and he's trying to put his foot down.
Right.
But yeah, as I was watching it, I didn't really think much about the acting in the movie, because it was very image based. It was very situational. Right. It was a good horror movie. I thought it was very good. And I'm not, I honestly had low expectations, because I'm not a big horror fan. But right. I was drawn to it because of the Superman aspect of it.
Exactly.
Very similar to Joker and, you know, Batman.
Right.
All right. You got anything else?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything.
We've
talked
budget.
Almost as long as the movie was. So.
Yeah. Come on. You can't come up with a few more minutes of talk.
I need to come up with 19 more minutes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered everything. Again, it wasn't super long, so... And again, it wasn't super deep. Like, it was pretty superficial.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean. It was very super. It was all about the images, in which I thought were great. And it
right.
That was what the trailer was. It was all these images with a couple little voiceovers in it, but it was all that imagery of basically Clark Kent.
Right.
And then the music in this was really good too. I mean, they really set the tone right from the beginning. There were a couple of jump scenes at the beginning. I mean, it's just a fun movie. Jen likes horror movies more than I do. So I think she actually might like it. I'd like to try to get her to watch it. But all right. We can wrap up from there.
All right. So I guess, where do you rank it?
It is the top Brightburn movie I have ever seen.
It's the number one Brightburn movie in my book. So.
But it's also the worst.
It's right.
Conveniently, it's number one.
Yeah. It's that yin and yang, you know. You can't have good without bad.
Yep.
So
yep.
You can't have a best without a worst.
Yep. We need I would like a Brightburn too. I know you said you wouldn't, but I think if these guys did it, I think it would be, I think you would go to see it. But
I mean, again, I would
agree
watch
with
it.
What you're saying. It doesn't
I would
need
watch it.
It,
but I just think it ends the way, like, it ends perfectly, because you kind of know what's going to happen, but you never see it.
It's a great one-off story. It doesn't need any more.
Right. It doesn't need anything else. I don't need a universe. I don't need, you know, a whole spin-offs and cameos and all that stuff. You know, it was just good the way it was.
I just had a thought because of the title. So the title is named after the town.
Right.
What's that other horror movie about the aliens? and they've done sequels, but it's different stories. So what if he showed up in another town? Like, you know what I mean? I can't remember what the last one was. John Goodman was in it.
I'm not sure.
Hang on. Please hold. You'll know it when I say it.
John Goodman was in it? Was that the one where he was like in the basement under the...
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. Oh, that J.J. Abrams.
Yes. So yeah. The one he was in was 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Right.
But it was a sequel to Cloverfield.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it was like, it's the same story. It's just different places. Right. Wasn't it? I haven't seen all of them, but I
haven't
know...
either. I saw Cloverfield. I saw the original. I didn't like it enough really to watch any of the sequels, but I don't really know. But yeah, I guess if it was kind of like anthology, yeah.
Like they do another movie where he moves on to another town and now he's an orphan and then he goes bananas to that point of, you know, like you said, like he did hide his identity.
He did, right.
So you don't know. There's another thing that they could exploit later or elaborate on. So
Spokane.
The next one.
Spokane 2, yeah.
All right. We'll wrap up then. That was a good surprise movie.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see it in the theater. I wasn't really drawn to it. And I knew it would be something I'd want to see at home anyway. So.
Right.
But I'm glad I saw it. Glad I saw it. If you guys seen it, let us know. Or if you haven't seen it. Well, you're not listening right now anyways.
I was going to say,
the door.
Too bad.
Let us know what you thought. We're so good at this wrap-up stuff.
Yeah.
Usually when I leave a comic book store, I just walk out. I don't have to
say. Exactly. You don't have to say anything. You just go.
Bye, everyone. So, hey, how do you like my wrap-ups? Let us know at brightside_chat on Twitter or email us. As we said earlier, email us a little more detail on that question we got. That would be pretty cool. Anybody else have any questions or something? That was fun. Email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. And we're on the Nerdy Legion. Check them out. A lot of good stuff there. I'm all caught up on my Nerdy Legion stuff.
Cool.
Because I've been working the last few days, so I've had my earpiece in. I'm listening. Back to my normal schedule. I think I'm actually going to go watch Brightburn again.
Oh, all right. I'm going to go watch Doctor Who.
And you can hear my review of it for sound quality, picture quality, the home theater experience next Friday or this Friday.
Actually. I say you could actually hear it before you hear this.
No. It's coming out Friday. Next Friday.
Oh, I thought it was coming out tomorrow.
No, so this is Monday when this comes out on Monday.
So that'd be a nice
Friday
trick of time travel.
Week. Yeah, exactly.
It's like the end game theory of time travel.
Exactly.
You can hear it before you hear this.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that'd be... I wouldn't be advertising it if it...
Yeah.
We will see you back here on our normal schedule. Oh, speaking of which, our normal schedule, we will have Speculator's Corner. We will have FOC. We will have Back Issue Bonus. We will have Recommended Reading. We are back, baby.
It's
a new year, 2020, new and improved. Well, not improved.
Just new. Well, not even new.
Not even new.
So same really old... neither one. All really right. Neither one of those. So
2020. It's the same.
We're just
old,
back.
Same old.
Yeah.
That's our theme. Same old. Yeah. Same old. Nudie and wheezy. Oh no. Oh,
nudie
pretzel.
And, nudie and wah wah.
Wah wah. He spelled it. Damn it. All right. We've stalled long enough. Let's get out of here.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast.
So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.